Hey, everybody. Before the show gets started, I wanted to tell you about the Now Hear This Podcast Festival coming up October 28th in Anaheim, California. It's like Comic-Con for podcasts. That's right. How Did This Get Made will be there, plus Comedy Bang Bang, Marc Maron, and many, many more. Tickets go on sale the morning of July 11th, and they will go fast. So go to NowHearThisFest.com. That's NowHearThisFest.com for more details. Come see us in Anaheim in October. Art, as defined by Webster's Dictionary, will never truly capture the moment when you see and or experience something that moves you and makes you think. Art is truly something that is indescribable. Rarely is there a shared experience or reference point. The Mona Lisa, the David, American Gothic, and of course, the Enchanted Peasant Girl. We saw Mannequin 2 on the move, so you know what that means.
Now it's worth it. How did this get made? We're gonna have a good time, celebrate some failure, not just being here. Cause we really wonder how did this get made? Let's wallow in the mediocrity of subpar art. Perhaps we'll find the answer to the question, how did this get made?
Hello, people of Earth, and welcome to How Did This Get Made? I am your host, Paul Scheer, joined, as always, by June Diane Raphael. How are you, June?
I'm good, Paul. How are you?
Very good. Glad to hear it. And Jason Manzoukas. How are you, Jason?
Paul, I love you with all of my heart.
Thank you, Jason.
As it is wonderful to see you.
Great to see you as well. And we have a very special guest today. He is a hilarious comedian, an actor. You've seen him on The Sarah Silverman Show. You probably follow him on Twitter. Please welcome Steve Agee.
Thanks, guys. Agee. Good to be here. Great to be here.
Very excited to have you. Now, the last movie that we did on this show also involved department store.
I was like, what's going on with department stores?
You know department what, though, store magic.
But that was a thing with yes. the movie. Like, department stores were
huge
because they were new at that time. Like, departments or the department store that we now know.
Yeah, mall department store.
Yeah, that mall department store was in like every early 90s movie.
Well, I feel like there's that other movie, Career Opportunities, where it was like the guy who was
Jennifer
like in
the Connelly movie, right?
Yeah. They're, like, we should do that one next. But just, like, people just hanging out in malls and, like, what could you do in a big department store where there were, like, boats and tents
sure.
and clothes, yeah. you know?
But it was, like, this movie posits, like, department store as museum as well. Like, there's also a museum exhibit going on.
Well, you got to get into all
it's
this.
A show, I mean.
There's a stage. There's a theater. There's a full theater in a department store.
And for performers.
Oh, yeah.
And rehearsals.
Oh, yeah.
Before we even
get dance sequences. There's so many dance sequences. And I feel like they were like, how can we have dance sequences, fashion montages, and mannequins all in one place? And somebody was like, set it all in a giant department store?
Well, here's the thing. It's a sequel. It's based on the original. Well, not based on the original. It's a sequel that is jumping off from the first movie, which took place in a department store. But
which is a natural place for a mannequin to 100%. Live. I have no yes. problem with that.
Yes.
But this movie yeah. didn't need the department store because they never use her as a artist. Mannequin.
Yes.
She is not a mannequin.
Well, let's go back. I realized that last night. Like, let's go back to the beginning.
Think about
let's
that.
Let's go back to the beginning.
The movie starts in medieval times, and it's medieval times. I was going to say, yeah, by medieval times a restaurant. It's like SoCal kids running around going like, hey, dude. Like, no attempt at an accent, no attempt. They're the cleanest medieval times people I've ever seen.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because usually those medieval times people are real dirty.
Well, just like, I mean, there's
dirty,
no,
filthy monsters.
But there's just nothing about, like, they look cartoonish and and
so colorful, and that even the bridge that they're on had like bricks that are like very 19th century.
I mean, like, yeah, the sword fight is ridiculous. All of it is like laughable.
I think that even the wizard goes, Madam Sweetie Pie.
Yeah, but it's almost like it's almost like to the degree of like Robin Hood Men in Tights or Princess Bride level, like winking at the audience, you know?
I would 100% agree. I feel like it does feel like an updated medieval time show. It just is like with some better looking.
And she certainly didn't seem like a peasant girl.
Oh, no.
No.
I mean, her outfit was very nice in the beginning, and she looked very clean. like with running water and every, I mean, there.
She was a middle class.
Her hair. Yeah. She shampooed.
She's a middle class peasant for sure.
For sure. But she's like a garbage person in the eyes of the queen.
Sure. Here's my question. The girl she's with in the very beginning of the movie, is that her daughter?
What? No.
No.
Sister. That's her sister.
Oh, I didn't hear that. Okay.
I mean, I just assumed it was.
Yeah,
I didn't know who it was.
It would be really weird if she had a daughter and was like ready to ride off on the back of this dude's horse.
This was medieval times. It's not unthinkable.
It would be amazing if this movie set up a world in which a single mother rides off on the horse of a prince, leaving her 10-year-old daughter behind to just fend for her
die of the plague. Yeah.
Even if it's her sister, she seemed to have a maternal relationship with her.
Well, they're just staring at the window.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I was worried about that girl and what happened to
her.
The
window. The window. The glass window.
That little girl died.
Yeah, you said
that
it
little
so,
girl for sure
June
died.
Said it so nonchalantly. She's like, nah, she's dead.
Well, she's definitely dead.
I did want, well, they're of course, all dead. Time, but she lived a long, healthy life.
We don't know.
In that, a thousand years ago. So
the plague could have hit.
She lived to the ripe old age of 27, which was the life expectancy. Well, I was fascinated, too, by the fact that when Christy Swanson, America's the love of young boys' lives at that time, comes back to life a thousand years later and never is like, oh, no, what about my family? What about my sister?
Oh, like, she says it once.
She does?
Yes. She mentions it once, like, oh, I can't wait to see my family again. And then it's like, never.
You won't.
She adapts so quickly. Just so if you have not seen this movie, which I highly recommend that you do, the premise is that a queen puts a curse on a peasant girl because her son, the prince, wants to marry her. He puts a necklace on. And this is where the movie gets foggy for me in the sense that
because this is the first scene and it's already getting foggy.
Yeah, it already is having some plot holes. So they put a necklace around
royal
her neck,
jewels.
Royal jewels, and then she freezes into a mannequin, not a stone statue.
No, a wooden statue is basically what they're saying.
Yes,
but it's a mannequin.
Wooden mannequin.
Yeah.
And she now, if you take off the necklace, would she always come to life? Or was it just in a thousand years if you took off the necklace, she would come to life? I didn't understand
that's never
the logic.
Clear, yeah.
Okay, so in my understanding of it, the necklace was going to make her a mannequin. But to break that spell, she had to be with her one true love. But also, she had to be wearing the jewels.
But also, so the true love had
conditions.
To come from a foreign land.
But
oh,
also,
they think or something. There was like a bunch of caveats to it. But it seems to me to be like wearing the necklace, frozen, not wearing the necklace, not frozen.
Right. But then later on, they put the necklace on another character. We'll get into this. They put a character, he gets a necklace on. He freezes. But then later on, when they want to put the necklace on the bad guy, they need to like enchant him in some way.
Yeah.
To make him.
Yeah. Well, she says the same incantation that the queen says upon putting the necklace on her,
but
which is like a
so
curse, a thousand year curse.
That, it seems to me, though, that the true love aspect of it has nothing to do with it.
So bad.
Yeah.
Because Hollywood, who we know from the first movie, of course, the necklace is put on him later in the movie, and then he's.
Hold on a second. You're telling me, because I don't remember Mannequin 1 at all. You're telling me Hollywood is in the first movie?
He's the crossover character.
He is.
Oh, okay. So, but he's surprised that there's another.
No, you can hear him say, oh, no, I've seen this before.
Oh, but he does.
But he says it one line and never does he get into it deeper than that.
Okay.
He just says, like, he goes, I wrote it down because it's a, he said it so nonchalantly. He said, it happened once before. He goes, this is crazy. He goes, it happened once before. No explanation.
Oh, wow.
And they go off to
run. But it didn't happen once before with a magical necklace and a curse.
No. It happened once before, like, in a very different way.
Her name is also Jessie. A thousand years ago, a peasant girl is named Jessie with, like, a heart over the eye at the end. You know what I mean? Like, what the fuck world are we living in?
She is a valley girl. I mean, she is. And
now,
does.
I loved her in this movie.
She's great.
I did, too.
Amazing.
I had the hugest crush on
Christy Swanson.
And she's beautiful. And she actually, I think, plays this character
really
she's well.
She's delightful.
Yep.
She's just delightful to watch. I could watch her all day long. But my big problem with this movie is the first Mannequin was about a woman who is a mannequin who came to life. Why not make the sequel about a male mannequin?
Oh.
Mannequin.
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 Mannequin. Mannequin sounds too much like mannequin.
Mannequin.
And in Mannequin 1.
Yes.
Is one of the best movies.
Because I genuinely do not remember it at all.
I don't either.
I went a little back and I've so this is
there a similar kind of curse?
Yes. It's a little different though. Here's the thing in Mannequin 1. There is an Egyptian curse put on Kim Cattrall.
Yes, I remember it being Kim Cattrall.
And what happens is a mannequin designer, Andrew McCarthy,
who's amazing.
Amazing.
In the movie.
Yeah. And he speaks to, but he's also amazing at his job. He's a very good mannequin, like designer. Like he is the top tier guy. And he talks to all of his creations. And then one time his creation talks back. And that's the, like, so his his creation comes to life.
But it's not fulfilling some destiny. It's not like this movie where there's, like, a lot of, like, weird.
No.
There's no backstory.
There's no one after him in that movie. But here's the problem that I have just based on, and Malekin should be great, but they go from New York City. Like, New York City.
Yeah.
And it's like he is the best.
The fashion industry.
And he's, like, the best window designer, and it's for the biggest store. To Philadelphia.
Yep.
Not even Philadelphia. Ooh, Germantown.
We are about to make a lot of enemies.
I was going to say, I apologize to anyone.
I don't know where this is going, Paul, but I do not share your sentiments.
Yeah, I'm going to really take down Philadelphia. Philadelphia, you got Creed, and that's all you got. Rocky and Creed, and fuck you.
But I feel like they chose Germantown because the original princess was in Germany.
I think you're right, but I think it is such a downgrade to everything because it's like, why would you tour this mannequin in Germantown?
Oh, man, we're going to get so many notes.
Top of this, let me tell you, Philadelphia.
You don't deserve to have a touring production of a mannequin from a different country show up in one of your store museums.
South Street,
they literally say, like, all the elite of Philadelphia will be there.
Right, Paul is saying, who's that? Trash people. Wrong. There are no elites in Philadelphia.
I'm saying there's seven to ten elite people.
I just want to say that Paul is speaking only for himself. I think Philadelphia has wonderful elites. I think I would be proud if anything that I did was set there or went there. You know, Philadelphia.
Now, while he's saying this, Jason is just writing on the table, Philadelphia sucks. And he threw an arrow through the Philadelphia Eagles' head.
Went from the crossbow that the Count has in this movie.
Which he steals from a JanSport display.
But I do not want to discuss.
Really, there's an off limits?
Yes, this is a topic that's off limits, and I really beg.
Can I guess what it is?
Nauseous.
Can I guess what it is? Yes. It's his hairy mole.
Yes.
Oh my God!
Like
why?
That to be the end of the discussion.
Okay, so we just said the main evil man has a hairy mole.
Was that just so we would know it was the same guy from the cold open?
I think so. Yeah,
but the mole hair was like 4 inches long.
And that's enough. And that's enough.
I want to get into the bad guy.
I first thought he was. Had a monocle and it was like the string from a fucking monocle.
Yep. No,
I want to slam Philadelphia one more time.
Oh, wow.
And just say this. What I think was such a downgrade, two parts. One, Hollywood is in New York, killing it in New York, and then it seems that he's got downgraded to Philadelphia.
Fallen on hard times.
Like, just move it out to L.A. Do something. Like, but it seemed like he's went from the heights to the lows. You don't go from
you
New
call
York
it Philadelphia
to Philly.
The lows. You don't go, quote unquote. In you don't go from New York to Philly. Is what you just said.
I agree. Wow. In the fashion world,
he goes from Saks Fifth Avenue.
Once again, I won't back this. I don't agree with this.
And then I want to just say one more thing. And he takes this fucking mannequin to show her Main Street, and it's the dumpiest Main Street of all. It's like a souvlaki stand, and it looks like abandoned. Building.
So now you're taking on souvlaki stands as well? You know what, pal? I would sit idly by while you trash Philadelphia, one of our great cities, the first American capital.
Oh, forget
it. To watch you trash it, to then have you double down and trash the most delicious Greek food that has ever been created is shameful, sir. Now make sure you guys get on the forums and write to Paul Scheer.
Are you from Philadelphia?
No.
Oh, okay.
But there was something so anticlimactic about going like, I want to show you my city. Yeah. And it's really the least. I mean, and they could have done it in downtown.
Oh, man.
Showed me a building.
Now, they Paul, just show correct you, me like, if I'm wrong. You're from New York, right?
Yeah, bro. New York all the way. Fuck you, Philly. We'll go. We'll eat your cheesesteaks, and then we'll come home.
You just can't deny, though. I mean, New York City is the greatest city on earth.
Sure.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you have a – I think it's also the head of –
like, just keep it in – the world, I feel like there's a tax
fashion,
break.
And this movie is not about fashion.
Sure it is. It's about a department store.
Okay. This movie's not about even window displays.
No.
No.
This is not about, mannequins. Like, a mannequin doing what a mannequin should be doing.
Right.
Selling clothing. Like, oh, that yeah. has nothing to do with this film.
I mean, like, that's kind of, I mean, again, I don't want to speak for what is expected of mannequins, because I think any mannequin should be able, or mannequin, should be able to do whatever they want if their dreams will allow it. But I get it. What you're saying is what they're doing is there to sell clothes, which is pretty reductive, June.
I think I don't know another use for a mannequin or a mannequin.
Wow.
I don't. Wow.
Really appealing to
masturbation.
I don't.
I am shocked to hear how limiting you feel like mannequins are.
By the way, role in society.
I do. I'm so sorry, Steve. I do have an issue with the fact that they made this another woman, because I felt like, wow. There's something so appealing about seeing a beautiful, still, lifeless woman to men.
Right.
And I have a real issue with that. And the fact that they didn't flip that for the sequel is
it totally
really
should have been a dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I thought Chrissy Swanson was great. I thought Kim Cattrall was amazing. And I love watching that. Fine. But there's something so gross to me about, like, using this concept of a woman who's still and silent and beautiful.
Yeah. It's just an object really to disturbing. Be
well, there,
to be looked
there
at
literally
admired.
Is no connection between the main character and this girl. Like, she comes to life. He kisses a mannequin.
That's weird. Yeah, that was
so
weird.
Really? Weird.
But he also saves, fucking pervert.
Yeah.
He also saves her quote-unquote life when the mannequin falls into the water.
Well, that's the, yeah.
Didn't need to happen. Did he ever jump into that water?
No, didn't need to happen.
He jumps into water to save a mannequin, and it makes no sense.
Which should float also.
Oh yeah,
it's like it's solid.
Stone. No, that just necklace is fucking heavy,
wood.
Dude.
Yeah,
it's
a heavy curse.
But he kisses her, and then she comes to life, and they really have no connection besides eating like shawarma, and they go out.
Well, in her mind, they do, because he's
yes,
in her Prince. Mind, but in his mind, like, he has no
she
connection
wants
to
weasel
her.
Meat.
By the way,
is
the
that
only
is
moment,
that what he calls his dick?
The only moment in that movie of her like. Adjusting to modern times is going, oh, so when the little man flashes green, you can walk?
Oh, yeah.
There's no, like, what the fuck is this? Like,
she's on board for it.
She's in that car.
She says, I love cars. I love electricity. I love America. Which is, if you jumped forward 1,000 years, those are the three highlights that you'd be like, I'm on board, guys.
But meanwhile, this guy takes out a fucking fire extinguisher and shoots out a little, like, foam, and she passes out. Yeah. Like, that was the thing that pushed her over the edge. Not the electricity.
Smoke.
Not the fact that people smell good. Not the fact that, like, not the fact that things are clean, a red fire extinguisher.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I would almost argue that would be maybe the closest thing to a medieval. It looks like some sort of contraption she would be familiar with. Oh, my gosh. And she's a peasant.
Yeah.
So everything should be doubled.
Yeah.
Like, if you were just coming.
Food should be amazing.
Food, everything.
Everything should be. She should be losing her mind. Like, the movie could be about her just experiencing the most simple of things and having her mind completely blown.
And
I think
she
what
gets,
they were going for, which I do think she was great at, was just that she's completely, like, a daft person, be it in medieval times or in present day. That she's an innocent and wide-eyed and just, you know, in love.
I didn't like the way they kissed in medieval times. Like, he kind of, like, it's like, blah, 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 blah. Like,
and
it's like
she
a very,
keeps
like,
going, more, again, more. And I was like, what is this? Yeah, the kissing was gross. And there is, like, every time, I will say this, and I did find their chemistry, Christy Swanson and the guy, to be light and charming and fine. But
really?
It was totally fine for me. I genuinely enjoyed this movie.
You like?
AG and I were talking about this before you guys got here.
You gotta watch the first one.
Totally enjoyed the movie. And I was like, I'm on board for it. Like, this is not terrible. Neither of them is terrible. They're both doing a great job. But every time she is a mannequin and he's just acting with the mannequin, it was the straight up creepiest thing I've ever seen in my life.
And like, it when didn't look touching, like her at all. The mannequin. No. But what? The mannequin of Hollywood looked exactly like
and
him.
And the yeah. mannequin of Terry Kaiser looked yeah. Terry Kaiser, Weekend at Bernie's, he's the bad guy. And I'm surprised that they were actually able to finish shooting this movie because he ate the scenery so much. That guy.
Oh, my God.
I kind of grew to love it. But
I loved him.
He was, in a way, the most mustache twirly. Like, literally,
the most
mustache twirly.
Well, he was wart actually hair wart hair twirly. But sorry, Jane.
All right.
But yeah, I think the movie is just, it's bizarre because it doesn't really follow, like, it just kind of like runs a path and then it goes, well, we'll change it now. And it just, I think that's the craziest thing about the movie. The chemistry is.
Well, it's hard because the relationship between Andrew McCarthy and Kim Cattrall was so amazing.
Yes.
And his reactions to her when she's a mannequin are so great. Like, that doesn't come across as creepy in the first one. He's just so good and so lovable that, like, you could watch.
This guy doesn't seem too freaked out that she even comes to life. Like, no one reacts really to anything at any given point. Yeah. Like, they're so freaked out about this mannequin falling in the water. Then he just takes that and he's like, well, I guess we'll just bring it in my car back to the...
But then when they're driving back, he's holding the mannequin like it's a person.
Yeah.
He's like cradled, the mannequin is like cradled in his arms. Yeah. And then he's like, where people are like freaking out when they see him like in the diner with the mannequin, there's like throngs of people outside the diner looking in at him standing with a mannequin.
This is a weird part of the movie because it becomes a little bit like Lars and the Real Girl. Like, he has had this like amazing night where he like spent this night with this great mannequin, and he wakes up in the morning.
When she's alive. When she's alive.
Yes.
The first time she comes to life, they have like an amazing night.
He squeezes some oranges, puts it in the microwave. It becomes orange juice.
His mom. I want to talk about his mom for like 10 hours.
Oh my God, the mom.
I want to talk about why all of her like dating clients come over at 9 p.m.
Later.
What was that about?
Because they were coming home from the club. They were coming home from the club in which they had a full night, like those two.
That guy's doing his dating video profile. The guy that is his Jason, by the way, lead character's name is Jason, which is like pretty rad.
You love that.
He was a pretty cool guy. Pretty much got it. But like Jason and the mannequin are sneaking in like after clubbing all night, and his boss inexplicably is there because his mom is like a video dating profile person, and she's making his video profile like, what are your interests?
But yet he's being very like weird. Like,
he's lying.
I can't reveal what I do
he's like
or who I am.
1980s Newman.
But it's Stuart Pankin, classic character actor. But but his whole thing was like, he was like, I work in a, it's like, you fucking manage a mall. Like, it's not like you're like Brad Pitt or something. No, you have to hide your identity.
He's like, I work in a pet store.
And by the way, in the beginning of the movie, he's the most evil, villainous character. And then turns out to be a huge buffoon.
And
like,
a real
they could have fixed so many holes in this movie by making either him just the main bad guy instead of Terry Kaiser, or
but this
get
is
him
what's
out.
So strange about the movie because you think when the count shows up that that those are the stakes that they have to somehow impress him. I mean, I don't even want to get into like why there's a show.
Yeah, why are they touring around a mannequin?
Why is the staff of a department store at an airport to meet a foreign dignitary? Why is that happening?
By the way, why not just put this whole fucking thing in a museum and it could be a mannequin, but in a museum instead of a fucking department store? It would have been great.
By the way, it's mannequin too. It's about a fucking statue.
Yeah.
That's what we're doing. Don't worry about it.
Just but by the way,
because she's never used as
like
a mannequin.
No.
They could have used any mannequin in that store.
And by the way, when they do reveal her as a mannequin in mannequin form, she comes out of a fucking spaceship, which is not even of the right ilk for her character because she is peasant girl.
Yep.
Like that, it doesn't make any sense. Okay, I have a lot.
All easily fixable holes, too. It could have been a really good movie.
It felt to me like there was, I felt like they had a script and they said, okay, Steve, here's the premise. You don't get to read the scenes that come before. You just, this is what you have to do in this scene. You have to accomplish this. You're, got it. And you write it. Then you give it to Jason. Like, Jason,
oh,
here are all
like
this.
Exquisite Corpse?
Yeah. It's exact. Because it feels like we're using all the same characters, yeah. But it doesn't seem like from scene to scene, like the mom, like the girl, the mannequin comes home and she's like, your mom gave me this device to see everybody's lives. And she's watching
Days of Our Lives.
And she's watching soap operas. Yeah. But yeah. Then her mom, when they pull a mannequin from upstairs, mom's like, he's dating a mannequin. It's like, no, woman, you just let him in. You let this woman upstairs 5 minutes ago.
There's also a whole thing.
You're asking if he fucked it, too.
Well, yeah. There's like a lot of...
I hear the shower. Did you sleep
with her? Who's in the bathroom? She says, who's in the bathroom? And he says, oh, it's a girl and blah, blah, blah. But then she's like shocked to find him with a mannequin. She definitely heard someone in the bathroom.
But I'm saying she saw her come up the stairs minutes before the cops come in at the end. And they clearly gave
him... I do think that the mannequin version of Christy Swanson doesn't look that much like her.
At all.
So I don't know that if I saw Christy Swanson and if I saw the mannequin version of her that I would necessarily think they were the same person.
So you think the mom also thinks that Christy
Swanson
is
a girl upstairs?
Possibly.
They're having a threesome with a mannequin. Oh, my God.
I don't know.
But then – and then – to get to the, like, so there's so much confusion here. And then the main bad guy's plan, from what I can distill, is to get enough money to go to Bermuda?
No, he's waiting for her to wake back up. He's waiting for her to wake back up because he wants to marry her for some reason.
He's going
to
force himself.
How did he stay alive for 1,000 years?
He's the great, 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 great grandson. He says, like, he does a big thing when he's talking to.
Yes. Oh, I thought he was alive for 1,000 years.
No, he's the grandson.
I was just saying it.
Oh, that makes no sense.
Screaming for like 20 minutes.
Paul, you know what? Paul got all fired up about Philadelphia. He emailed me today, and he was like, "Get ready, I'm taking down Philly.
Turn it up today. I'm turning it."
I literally
it.
Feel like you've been screaming for 20 minutes.
Apologize, everybody. I'm just baffled. I'm baffled, and I'm.
I am too.
I want to talk about at some point. I want to talk about all the horny secondary characters.
And that's by the way, I think what they were going for with
Gail and Andy.
Can we just figure out the plan, though? I just want to see.
His
also,
plan.
Also, we've moved on way far past this, but did you notice in the beginning that cold open in medieval times, the dwarf from Twin Peaks?
Yes, I did notice it.
Yep.
I also noticed an interesting camera move there. I think no one taught them about like a dolly, so someone just ran with a camera.
Well, they didn't have dollies in medieval times. I think they were shooting it with that technology available in the day.
Medieval times verite.
The count's cover was that he was trying to like build up tourism for their German town or whatever that place was.
The place that's covered in rain for 1,000 years.
So that was his cover, but what he was really going to do was wake up the mannequin.
I think he thinks the mannequin is going to wake up because it's now 1,000 years later.
A thousand years later, but
she needs
I don't
to
know
be on foreign. She needs to be in like fall in love with someone foreign or something. So
which
that's
is why
he,
she's got to be a mannequin on the move.
Yes, so that's why he's brought her there because his plan is I'll fall in love with her here and we'll go to Bermuda.
And you're then we'll go to Bermuda.
Yeah,
Bermuda. Okay.
But Bermuda, was he going to sell the diamonds to them? Because all the three German
Henchmen
stooges. Yeah, they.
What were they, by the way? Security.
I couldn't figure them out at all.
I actually have a clip of Rolf, Egon, and Arnold. Who, in my mind, clearly all were dubbed. They're American actors later. And this is, they're kind of the main bad guys, foils. They're big, dumb German guys.
They're comic relief.
They're comic relief. In a movie, I would argue, full of comic relief.
Didn't need it, yeah.
Oh,
didn't
yeah.
need them.
We have an over, we basically only have two characters that are not comic relief.
Yep, and then everybody is, and then like a dozen characters who are ludicrous.
Here are the German Three Stooges.
What have you done with the enchanted peasant girl?
You guys are not supposed to be back here. I'm going to have to call security.
There she is. Whew, that was a close one. Not a word of this to the count. We don't want to get him upset.
One of my favorite scenes of the movie was when the female truck driver.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Yes.
Up
dancing
these
in the street.
German guys.
These three German guys who are getting naked and dancing in the middle of a highway.
They go, that's the best way to stop a garbage truck.
And then they
that's
pick
hitchhiking
them up,
for
they
them.
Pick them up in a dumpster. And then move, put the activate the dumpster so it dumps them into the trash.
Well, that's inexplicable, but I really did want to watch a whole movie about those two ladies. One of them,
they were awesome.
They were amazing.
One of them, I think, is drinking a glass of milk. Like, she had white stuff all over her.
Yeah.
Or I don't know if she'd they were just saying all over she's her face. Foaming at the mouth. But
oh,
the
maybe.
Two of them were but looking they, at these
they
guys.
They were like, yeah, they were like feasting their eyes on these beefcakes in the street. It is, I wrote all about it. I was like, what is up with these? Because they're two gross ladies in a trash truck who like look at these guys in the street, and it is so like they are like Lenny out. And Squiggy, like yes. And
one of them's wearing a hard hat in the car. Why?
Well, but I don't know. But so it's so funny what, you know, their reactions to them. And then they pick them up and dump them in the
Well, like, are they going to use them later?
A metaphor.
Because later on, it seems like they just drop them off. It's like
I think they only do drop them off. I mean, maybe they fucked those guys.
I would hope. I would probably love it
if they just straight up. But that's what I mean. Everybody's horny in this movie.
Is June, when you? I mean, you know, I know you only for a little time when you were single, but would you like try to throw guys in the garbage can, like when you got really into a guy?
It's a classic move.
Then those three beefcakes change into like
Bermuda wear,
80s era workout gear.
See, I think this is what happened. I think there was one scene where they said they were planning on going to Bermuda, and they picked up their Bermuda clothes.
I think you're right.
In the department store that they cut. So inexplicably, we do know they don't have clothes from the trash can. But they arrive in the next scene in
Dayglow pink
Bermuda wear.
Yeah, it looks more like one of them guys is wearing like fingerless weightlifting gloves.
I'm trying to
but
think.
But I think they were ready for Bermuda.
Really? Like, because there's so much time before they go to Bermuda.
I know, they're kind of dressed out of those clothes.
They're kind of dressed like Bruno was dressed and when he was like wearing a bathing suit. It's like that long V. It's all the way down into tight shorts.
They're wearing like spandex shorts, like ripped up tank tops. Weightlifting gloves.
It's like Let's Get Physical.
Yes.
Music video.
I couldn't figure out why they were wearing that. They would be wearing that when they were like the Count's security team, and the Count would be dressed in like a suit and like be with like three guys that looked like they just walked out of Gold's Gym for like a workout.
Well, oh boy. I would say that this movie that's stereotyping Germans. I think we would be remiss.
As what though? Even as just idiots.
I felt like it was I definitely felt like they were poking fun at because one of them's named Arnold.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right.
I feel like they were all trying.
By the way, the entire like meet cute of this movie, the way that they come together and is so strange. It's predicated upon this idea that those German guys crashed their truck.
Yes. It said keep right. One of them said, the sign said, keep right. And the cop's like, at the end of the bridge, you fucking idiot.
Don't drive off the bridge. Like, as in Germany, I guess you can drive off bridges.
And then two guys who happen to be working at this department store see this accident, and Jason jumps in. I mean, it's...
No. They were supposed to go... Hollywood gets the call. It's like, the truck, it's crashed. And then they jump in the car.
In his pink Cadillac,
So he drives over there because he's already heard it's crashed?
Yeah, yes,
he's worried. Oh, I didn't realize
A weird
that.
Little connection is this is the same pink Cadillac used in the movie Mac and Me, a movie that we discussed in this podcast as well.
Oh, my God.
Same pink Cadillac and I believe the same director.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. We should do a whole thing that is like, if that car's been in any other movies, we're going to do those movies. We should be completist with that pink Cadillac.
I would love to do that.
I also want to talk about how... how Meshach Taylor also plays the bouncer at the nightclub.
Well, I want to talk about Meshach Taylor in general as far as I think based on when I saw this and where I was in my life, which was very young, Meshach Taylor may have been my first introduction to someone who is gay, right?
You think he's gay in this movie?
He definitely
he reminded me of Kimmy Schmidt's roommate.
Pinot Noir.
The sound of his voice.
Take a listen to this is kind of how we first meet Hollywood Montrose.
Do you remember Miss Diana Ross in the movie Mahogany? Yeah. Give me cheekbones or give me death.
Makes everyone suck in their cheeks.
Montrose, I need to talk to you.
The wizard's not here. Go away.
This is a rehearsal for a mall show.
This is in like a 600 seat theater that exists in a department store.
Yeah. Sure, for all their live shows.
Okay, I know we're going back to the basic plot of the movie, but why? Okay, if we're saying the Count, I know we're going back to it, but if we're saying the Count wanted to bring her here to break the spell, why does he need a show?
I think that's the pretense. The show's on tour. That's his excuse to get her out of the country to foreign land.
Now, why does this department store need this show?
Because all Philadelphia's elite needs to be entertained on such a high quality.
By the way, he's the Count. That's his fucking mannequin.
Yeah.
If he needs to get it on foreign soil,
no, it's the Queen's. It's the Queen's mannequin. That's why she's on the phone with him on the white courtesy phone and is like, I didn't want the peasant girl to go abroad. I didn't want this. This is your thing. And
but they literally made $52 last year in tourism.
Oh, yeah.
Which, by the way, means that those four women that are touring the museum probably was the entire
I did have a laugh when the Queen said the weather's turned.
Yeah. Turned nice here.
Turned nice. And it was storming out.
I wanted to talk about is Hollywood offensive, I guess, and that's the question. Like, because now looking at it, like,
it's an insane caricature of a gay man.
The first mannequin and thinking like this is comedy.
That's what I think too.
He was hilarious.
His glasses are so funny.
Yes, in this one, his glasses are made of scissors,
and his earrings were little scissors too.
And all of his jokes are like gay one-liners. They're all about a few good men in the Marine, getting in a few good men or whatever.
Meshach Taylor's, I believe, famous for playing gay people,
and designing women.
He was a gay guy.
I looked it up last night. Not gay, married, straight man. It's funny to think how far we've come. This is now, like, the first movie was 87. This is 91.
This is 91?
91.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I would have put this at 87.
Yeah.
Oh, that's shocking.
Yeah, so that's like...
Yeah, weirdly, the first one feels more...
present.
present
I would flip them around.
Well, I mean, and I will say, just to speak to what you're saying, Paul, like, this is still an era where, like, a lot of this is like Long Duck Dong in 16 Candles around this time. This is still an era where there's a lot of minorities are represented in ways that are gross, what we would terribly now look at offensive. As gross caricatures.
Yeah.
But then we were like, this is totally normal, right?
Yeah. This was like Police Academy era. Yeah.
Hey, everybody, we have to take a quick break in the show right now to give a word of thanks to our sponsors. That's right, our sponsors who keep the lights on, and those sponsors start with you. I'm talking about a man named Todd Mary. Does he have a product? No, but he's got a heart of motherfucking gold. Todd Mary donated $210 to How Did This Get Made. That is so sweet of you, Todd Mary. Todd Mary, you have the best name I've ever heard because it sounds Christmassy. It feels like you might be an undercover Santa or you work in the North Pole, but then like during the rest of the year, you're just like a dad and your kids find out that you're Santa and they go one year and you put them on the sleigh. Very exciting man, Todd Mary. But you know who else is great? Tom Sinclair. Yeah, sure, Tom Sinclair didn't give $210. But he gave 100 bones. That's right, 100 bones if bones were dollars. Tom Sinclair, a great, great strong name, a land baron who comes here. Yes, he might have taken away things from your great-great-grandparents in an effort to build his empire, the Sinclair Oil Empire. But you know what? He's now giving that money back to us with that generous $100 donation. Tom Sinclair, thank you. And I cannot forget about Ali Luboff. Ali Luboff, I don't know if you're a man or if you're a woman, and I don't care because I know you're an amazing human being. Ali Luboff, you wrote a check for $100. You sent it to us and you said, you know what? This show is free, but I'm going to pay for it because I defy the system. I just don't take, I give. And you give every single day. You give us questions. You let us learn. You are my number one person that I'm going to pray to every night. Ali Luboff, thank you for the $100. Today's episode is brought to you by Loot Crate. Loot Crate is a monthly subscription box service for epic geek and gamer items and pop culture gear. For less than $20 a month, you get 4 to 8 items that include licensed gear, apparel, collectibles, and a unique one-of-a-kind item and more. So make sure you head on to lootcrate.com/bonkers and enter the code bonkers to save $3 on any new subscription. Now, I know you've probably heard me talk about Loot Crate, and you're like, I don't know. Should I do it? Should I not do it? Yes, you need to do it. Why? Because it's hard to go out all the time and get that cool shit that people like come over to your house, look on your shelf, and go, whoa, where'd you get that? Like, dude, I got it at Loot Crate, but you don't tell them that. You go, oh, I got that in Japan. Oh, I got that at a Comic-Con, all right? Because in every Loot Crate box, they're giving you over $40 of value in that crate. It doesn't come in a real crate. Don't be daunted by the crate nature of it. It's just a box. But every month has a different theme. And previous crates have included stuff like a Star Wars crate, a Marvel crate, a Walking Dead crate, or even a Legend of Zelda crate. And we are now celebrating the future. That's right. July's crate is full of pop culture's favorite prognostications of science and the future. Look towards tomorrow with items from Rick and Morty, Futurama, Star Trek, Mega Man, Valiant Comics, and Star Trek, including a model, a figure, and a monthly tee and a pin. Start to be the coolest nerd and geek on your block by getting a Loot Crate subscription. Remember, you only have until the 19th at 9 p.m. Pacific to subscribe and receive that month's crate. And when that cutoff happens, that's it. It's over. The model, the toy, everything is gone, gone, gone. So go to lootcrate.com/bonkers and enter the code bonkers to save $3 on your new subscription today. People, I got to tell you something. I have been cooking at home a ton more. And you know why? Because I've been using Blue Apron. It's easy, it's fun, and it makes cooking about cooking, not about shopping, not about finding that ingredient, not about even picking a recipe. All right, this place is awesome. I can tell you that I've been using it, and it's actually every night delicious. Last night I had this shrimp and couscous that was amazing. The night before that I had a fried green tomato sandwich. And it also caters to whatever dietary restrictions you have. If you are a vegetarian, they have it. If you're a pescatarian, they have it. They have chicken, they have fish, they have everything that you want, okay? They have high quality, fresh ingredients that come to your house and you feel like, oh, did someone go shopping for me? Oh yeah, Blue Apron went shopping for me. And for less than $10 a meal, Blue Apron delivers seasonal recipes along with pre-portioned ingredients to make it delicious home-cooked meals. Such a snap. It's all right there. Just get down to it. About 30 minutes for every meal. And I guarantee you, try it once and you'll be psyched. Like, listen to the meals that are coming up in July. We have a spinach and basil pesto gnocchi with summer squash, green beans, and fresh mozzarella. We have spiced pork tacos with avocado, pickled onion, and Aloit style corn. Look at that. I don't even know how to pronounce it, but it sounds good. I would never get Aloit style corn at my supermarket because I wouldn't even know how to find it. But Blue Apron finds it. Plus, they are going to make sure whatever they send you is fresh and they're never going to be out of it. So that's what my problem was. I find a recipe, could never find the right ingredients. They're going to have all those ingredients. So check out this week's menu and try your first 3 meals free. That's right. Hear me? First 3 meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/bonkers, B-O-N-K-E-R-S, okay? That's blueapron.com/bonkers, B-O-N-K-E-R-S, all right? They are amazing. It's a better way to cook. You will be psyched. If you like to cook, you'll love it. If you've never cooked, it'll be easy. And guess what? We all know what cooking leads to. Getting it in. That's right. You can finger your girlfriend or your boyfriend if you cook with Blue Apron. It's not in the copy, but I think it's been solidly alluded to. Do you like sleep? Oh, sure you do. But look at that shitty mattress you're sleeping on. How many years has that sat in your dorm room, in your house, in your apartment, and it's not even been changed or flipped, and it's lost all the firmness and funness of a mattress? Well, let me tell you, if this was a superhero movie, a superhero would come into your room and replace that mattress, and his name would be Casper. and Casper would be this superhero who would give you, like, he'd shoot like Spider-Man, this web slingers of an obsessively engineered mattress at a shockingly fair price into your bedroom, that it combines springy latex and supportive memory foams to create an award-winning sleep service with just the right sink and just the right bounce. And you know what that means? Casper likes to see you fuck on those mattresses. That's right. Spring and bounce are for fucking. But Casper is a cool guy. He's like Iron Man, all right? He's not going to screw you over. He's going to give you this for a great price. Cheaper, way cheaper than what you get at department stores, because he's giving it to you direct. He's flying to your house and giving it to you direct. Plus, he's going to tell you, guess what? Time Magazine named me one of the best inventions of 2015. Now you're going to be like, wait, you're an invention? I thought you were a person. Bear with me. It's a metaphor I'm trying to make. Try Casper the mattress for 100 nights free in your own home. If you don't love it, Casper the Superman will come pick it up and get it back. It's made in America. Here's the thing. I sleep on a Casper. I love it. They sent it to my house. It came in a small box. I was like, wait, that's a mattress. I popped that shit open. It exploded into a bed. It's the most comfortable sleep I've had. And I'm going to say the most comfortable sleep my wife has had. She loves that mattress. It firms. It supports. It's all good. And let me tell you something else that I want. If you want to get $50 off any mattress right now, go to casper.com/how. Use the offer code how. Okay, that's right. You're going to get $50 towards any mattress purchase by visiting casper.com/how and using the offer code how. Terms and conditions apply. Hey, everybody, that's all of our ads for today's show. Now back to our show. So he played two characters, I think. And I would argue he plays kind of three, because the military guy is an affect.
Well, but that's Hollywood portraying the military guy.
Right, but he also was showing off his acting chops. Sure. So he got to kind of play three. And then Terry Kaiser plays two characters in this movie. He plays himself, and the main guy plays two
characters. The mom plays two characters.
Yeah.
Here's the I have one question about the dance club sequence.
Okay.
Okay, when they're waiting to go online, there are three men that walk into that club who are all hunched over, wearing white T-shirts.
Oh, I don't remember.
I don't remember.
No.
Oh, my God.
Why? What would...
Okay. Because they're... Oh, God, I wish we had a clip of this. They're hunched over. I mean, they're young guys, but are, like, completely, like... They're almost touching the ground with their hands. And it looks like, oh, this is, like, a cool late 80s, early 90s, like, like a hip-hop style. Then they go into the dance club, and they are slow dancing with women at one point, and all three of them are still hunched over.
I'm gonna pull it up, but I mean, it's gonna be visual, as many of my favorite moments in this movie are incredibly visual.
Oh yeah, when he gives CPR to the mannequin.
Oh, amazing! I mean, there's so much.
Should just call her a doll, because she's really not a mannequin.
Yeah.
Perfect. Is she a doll? I mean, I think she is. I mean,
she is a statue.
She is a statue.
We should also say that this movie all takes place in arguably 72 hours. This movie takes place in the time of that movie, the Benghazi movie that Michael Bay made. Yep. So it was going on in a simultaneous world as a Benghazi.
This movie is also about Benghazi.
First of all, I will say that Meshack Taylor playing that guy as a bouncer was great. I like that a lot. I think he's a versatile guy.
As the bouncer, he's hilarious. You know, like that. I feel like, and I bet that's all improvised, like him just like deciding who gets to go into the club and stuff. It was funny.
I feel like everything that he did was kind of improvised.
Lots of pop culture stuff. He's talking like the Diana Ross stuff. He's talking about pop culture constantly throughout the movie.
That's why he got brought
so back. So many dance breaks. Well, like in the nightclub.
He's dancing in the nightclub. He's dancing like an insane person.
Yes. And she starts to dance like an insane
person.
Can we talk
budgets too, by the way?
Sure.
This movie was $13 million.
Well, here's an interesting thing about this movie. And it's a very big package to unwrap, but I will quickly talk about this. The movie was produced by this place called Gladden Entertainment, which is formed in 1984 by David Beagleman, right? And he packaged the idea of, he came up with the idea of a package deal. And he basically embezzled all this money from all of his movies. He eventually was caught and killed himself in a hotel room.
Whoa. Oh, my God.
With a mannequin there? Was there a mannequin there?
There was a mannequin. The LA Times wrote an article on it. It was one of the biggest business scandals ever in Hollywood. Oh, wow. First, he started off stealing money from Judy Garland when he was her manager. He blackmailed Judy Garland for more money.
Jesus.
Then he would take inflated budgets and then pocket all that money.
Oh, wow.
So basically, his whole company was liquidated because he wasn't paying actors residuals. Oh, wow. This guy's a really bad dude. And then his partner, equally bad, this guy Bruce McNeil, he owned the LA Kings. And he wrote a book called Fun While It Lasted, My Rise and Fall in the Land of Fame and Fortune.
Huh.
And he served 13 months in jail for embezzling over $236 million from several banks over a 10-year period.
Whoa.
Holy cow.
Yeah, so I imagine a lot of that $13 million is in the pockets of these two guys.
It had to, because I was watching it going, where is that money?
It all takes place clearly in just like a studio that is, you know.
The first one was just like...
The first
maybe one, 6 million?
7.9 million.
Yeah.
Made 6 million on the opening weekend, beat Over the Top. This movie came out, made 1.6 million many years later.
Oh,
and,
Jesus.
And it was beaten by a lot of things. It came in 133rd of all the movies released that year.
There were some good movies, I think.
Terminator 2,
yeah.
Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, Beauty and the Beast. The only movie that we've done that it's beaten is Cool as Ice.
oh, wow.
So that was just to give you an idea. And the movie was also written by 5 different people. And in my research of those guys, one of the main writers said, we subscribe to the 24-second rule, that we never spent more than 24 seconds figuring out the logic of this movie.
Whoa, that is evident.
And it shows, yeah.
That's a crazy thing to openly admit. He's like, yeah, we did. Like, he's like, there's a lot of plot holes in it, but we didn't spend more than 24 seconds trying to justify anything.
Oh, no. And I feel like they genuinely did the other thing, which is when in doubt, do a montage.
Yeah. Oh.
When in doubt, do play a song and just do a montage. She is like, at some point, she's like, she wants to change her appearance.
Yes.
And all it is so a song starts up. Like, she's like, how can I change my appearance? And then they're like, go for it, girl. And then she's like, okay. And it's just her looking in the mirror, trying on formal gowns and hats.
But a lot of hats.
Formal gown, hat.
Well, this was an era of hats, though, on women.
Oh, 91?
Yeah. This was like Blossom and like lots of hats on lots of ladies.
I just felt like I wanted to see a real dress-up montage, and it just felt like a hat montage.
Or like change your appearance so that the people that are chasing you, she just basically is like, I'm going to be black tie, ready.
Well, they did run past her at one point towards the end of the montage.
Yeah, they did.
I was aching for her to cut that hair. Hair was
you come off that hair.
It was insane.
But peasant chic.
It was horrible, and I think I do have something against women with hair that's like really long like that.
Oh boy.
It's just so weird. Gross.
There's
gross to me. Yeah.
What if a woman had hair that long and lived in Philadelphia? I feel like that woman would be like the number one enemy of your household.
I so wanted her to cut that hair into like a really cool bob.
Ooh, like Helen Slater in
Helen Slater.
Helen Slater. Oh. And Give My Brother Back His Bike. What was that movie?
My Bodyguard?
No. Oh, love that movie too. No. Oh, it doesn't matter.
Better Off Dead.
Nope. Fuck.
Well, June, while we're talking about hair, someone did write in on the forums and they said they really wanted to hear your opinion on man buns. That's Taylor Ann Photo wanted to know what you think about man buns.
In general or in this movie?
Just in general. We were talking about hair.
Buns,
though, is interesting because you don't like buns. And they said move your buns in this movie.
Yeah. It's not that I don't like buns. I just don't think they're – I think movies portray them as, like, super sexy to women, and I don't think they are. But
– that's been well documented.
It's weird, though, that everybody makes fun of man buns, but dudes keep wearing – I'm like
– Well, we're talking about two different things, too. We're talking about man buns being a hairstyle and buns of men being their butts.
So I don't mind man buns, but I prefer a low man bun.
Oh.
I don't love like a high
– like a samurai.
Got it.
Like where yours is.
Yeah.
So you don't like a
– resting on the back.
You don't like a fat Jew man bun.
You like
– that's not even a man bun,
you like a ponytail.
No, I don't like a ponytail. Oh, you don't. But I would prefer it in a – I'd actually think I'd prefer it in a bun now that we're unpacking this, but low at the nape of the neck.
Oh. Tidy or messy?
Like a
messy.
Knot. Not messy, even a bun though, right?
Yeah, like a little – a knot. Yeah, loose, not too well groomed. By the way, I don't like this, but at all. But just if I had to choose, that's where I would place it.
Well,
no. That's what people want to know.
Okay, people want to know when we got the intro. Here's another thing I want to run by you guys. We talked a lot about this theater. And what was
the theater in the department store?
Yes. What is going on in the theater?
Auditorium.
What's going on there? Do you think? Just like, what would you describe what they're doing?
Wait, in the case of this movie,
what would you describe they're doing?
The actual show that they end up putting on?
Yeah. You'd call it a show. What would you call it?
I would call it the opening of the exhibit of the peasant girl.
And what would you call it?
I guess I would call it an evening for the department store.
It's okay. I think
which
it's,
there will be entertainment.
Well, I think it's the shit you see at like Fashion Week where they have the bring out the new styles.
You're all wrong because you missed the many cues. I'll tell you exactly what it is here if we just play this clip because they say it a lot of times.
On the Hauptmann König presentation, do you realize how important that presentation is? The eyes of the entire city will be on that presentation.
I'm going to breathe some light into this presentation.
You saved the presentation and my phony baloney job.
Count Pretzel, I think you'll be pleased at our handling of your presentation.
Let's get busy. We have a presentation. Someone has got to glitz up this presentation.
Count, we have a presentation tomorrow afternoon.
All we have to do is wait till the presentation is over.
This is my store. My presentation.
He's about to ruin my presentation.
Presentation.
So that is a supercut of all the times that they said the presentation.
That is a meaningless word.
What? They didn't even understand what they were
just
doing.
Presenting this doll?
Which is the least impressive doll. It doesn't look like her. It's not exciting.
It would basically be like if... When like the King Tut exhibit toured the country,
it went to
Macy's and Nordstrom's.
Oh, we got to go to Nordstrom's this week, and they have King Tut.
And I have to get some briefs.
And I did not realize that part of it's great. It seems like a one night only event, and then when you see what it is, it's a full on singing and dancing.
Oh, it is a full stage show.
What?
King Tut. That's what it would be like if King Tut was like King Tut came to life. That's Malekin. That's the plot of Malekin. King Tut is in the Nordstrom's. And except that I thought about this for a second, and here's what I think. I think part of the problem would be that we understand that mannequins have no genitalia.
They can't have sex.
So mannequins would not have dicks.
No, but she was a present girl frozen,
so she
has.
She doesn't have a vagina?
She does because we saw her as a human being.
So you think if they took her clothes off while she was a mannequin, she would still have a vagina?
Yes.
No.
Oh.
Yes.
Yes. No.
Yes.
Yes.
She's frozen in time.
She, for sure.
A wooden vagina.
No, she
would be like, they would be labia majora, labia minora. There would be a clitoral hood. No. A clitoris.
A manaquim.
She doesn't have a vagina. She doesn't have nipples as a mannequin.
But as a human, she does?
Yes.
No.
And that's what happens in that moment where the screen gets fuzzy.
She gets nipples?
Yes.
Nipples come back.
Well, nope. Okay, let me ask you.
Kim Cattrall at one point was also a human.
Yes, but she was a... But her thing is that she's a frozen human. Kim Cattrall is, she's a spirit.
I guess she was made.
Yeah.
This is what I mean. Like, here's the thing. Well,
Kim Cattrall, he didn't make a vagina on her.
Do we know that?
How do we know that he's a dry humper?
You got to get Andrew McCarthy in here.
I want to call Kim Cattrall and be like, listen, you probably saw the mannequin that was built to be you. Were there lips?
But I don't understand your point that you couldn't do it with a man because he wouldn't have genitalia.
Well, I feel like there would.
King Tut would have genitalia.
Yeah, I guess it would be the same thing for this. I guess in this, like, the mannequins still have boobs, there's still like an element of sexuality to them that is like covetable, but male mannequins are just like handsome dolls in a weird way. They're sexless.
Interesting.
I feel like, but maybe, yeah.
Maybe
but
you haven't met the right mannequin.
Or mannequin.
By the way, I think we should put an undercover on hold and get into mannequin 3.
The confusing part about that, I'm
manic him.
Manic. He's a mannequin who's
manic
really,
him. Manic him.
Because King Tut was very manic. They had to freeze him up.
Yep.
Wait, now, I do want to ask about what goes on when you are frozen, because she seems to, like, just be frozen. But then when Hollywood gets it, he's like, I was in Oz. I saw Dorothy. I saw everybody. But is he living in an alternate hell zone? Like, when you are frozen as a mannequin? Or are you just, like, literally, like, boom, boop, and, like, immediately? Because she seemed to have no...
She thought it had been 10 minutes.
Yeah. And even 10 minutes seems oddly... Like,
I just saw you 10 minutes ago.
Yeah, she should have just said, I just saw you seconds ago, because...
Yeah.
But yeah. Because... But it seemed like Hollywood was in a very weird.
He lived a full life.
He entered the void. He entered an existential void that he did not understand. That was the other thing, he was able to put the necklace on himself.
Yes.
And turn himself into a mannequin.
Yeah.
Which was strange. And then,
by the way, there's no way she has genitalia as a mannequin.
Okay, well,
no way.
You don't think so?
She doesn't have nipples.
So you think that she puts the necklace on and her nipples and vagina go away? Yeah.
Smooth.
Just like other things go away. She's like looking like her. She doesn't look exactly like herself. Her skin's different. Like,
do you think there are organs inside of her?
Of course not.
Definitely
frozen.
No, so you think she's hollow? She becomes a hollow.
Yes, I agree with that.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. I mean, made of wood. She's made of wood. Everything was wood.
And you can tell by the way people hold her. She doesn't weigh that much.
I just pulled up
That's true.
I pulled up a picture of
nipples aren't heavy, though.
I'm going to post this on our Earwolf
course. I mean, like, that's a real question. How heavy are nipples?
I mean, very, very heavy.
We really got to get a listener
to stand on a scale and weigh herself.
No,
I want to show
everybody nipples.
By the way, they do make mannequins now that have nipples.
Yeah.
That's Christy
Swanson. And I don't like it.
Standing next to it. So that's the difference.
Oh, wow.
I'm going to post this on the Earwolf boards and I'll put it on Twitter. It's like they do look.
Wait, what is for sale in that?
The picture. Just the picture. Yeah.
Okay.
I wish you could buy the mannequin. But yeah, the mannequin's not even very impressive either. And it doesn't seem like, because at the end of the movie, when Weekend at Bernie's guy is now the mannequin that's put together and oddly his ear.
That was upsetting when he falls out of the balloon.
Yeah. But, well, they had to figure out a way to kill the bad guy without really killing him.
So we have evidence. Actually, we have evidence from the movie that they are empty, because when he falls to the ground,
he shatters.
He shatters, and he is just there is nothing inside. Okay.
What I wish they had done with her too is given her a face, like his face and expression sort of look like him, as does Hollywood's. But with her, she as a mannequin has a very serious expression on her face.
Well, she just has a mannequin's.
Yeah.
She looks like a store mannequin where they look like frozen versions of themselves.
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you remember?
Which is different.
There was an episode of Seinfeld called The Mannequin where there was an Elaine mannequin that looked exactly like her.
Yes.
And it really fucking looked like Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
We could talk for a long time about how advanced mannequin technology has gotten.
I mean, look,
that was in the 90s.
If you go to Japan, you can get the best mannequins.
Absolutely.
I mean, everything in there.
Fully genital mannequins. Miso mannequin.
Ooh, we got to put some Jennies on these mannies.
Well, that's always the interesting thing about the Ken Barbie is that the Ken Barbie always had underwear on.
Oh, really?
Really?
And Barbie, and Barbie, as we know her, doesn't have any underwear.
Wait, that's crazy.
But that's how it should be.
Because she's nasty. But that's
because a guy's got special junk in there. Women, you could just throw out there.
She has no vagina, obviously, but there's no.
Barbie doesn't.
But
Ken doesn't have it.
He definitely does because he's covering something.
No, he's got flat. He's flat and.
No, but I get what you're saying.
But it's
intimating.
Okay,
it's intimating that he should be wearing underwear. Is that right?
Can you look that up, Paul?
Ken underwear?
Ken
underwear. So you just Google Ken doll underwear, please?
Yeah, I'm going to do it right now.
And see if anybody on Etsy's making it.
Kendall is wearing underwear.
Yeah, he wears underwear.
He has
really.
Well, he looks like he's being sold underwear.
Paul, I don't want you to.
It's not underwear you put on him. Look at a naked Kendall.
Oh boy.
Look up naked Kendall.
Oh God, this is
here we go.
At some point, you're gonna forget about this June. You're gonna look at his Google history and be like, "What are you up to?"
Well, one time I was doing a bit with her, and we were on Amazon, and I was looking for Father's Day gifts, and we just, like, typed in, like, the most, like, obscene thing to see what popped up in Amazon, and now all my suggestions on Amazon are disgusting erotica or, like, sex books. Male anatomically correct.
Look under images.
Oh, wow. All right.
This is amazing.
All right, so I'm looking.
He's wearing underwear.
Oh, I see what you're saying. He's not wearing physical underwear, but his waist is designed as plastic underwear.
Into his body.
Oh, yeah.
Let me see.
So, like, it's see,
he
like,
always has that on. He always has briefs on.
See, so he's wearing.
So the doll is the mold. There's no it's like fabric. Sumo underwear.
This will also
so,
be
okay,
on
so that's interesting
Twitter
because that suggests that there is a dick under there.
Absolutely. Yes.
But Barbie is without.
Look up Barbie.
Now, naked and will Barbie. You also look up American Girl doll bra? Just look it up. Just see. I just, not because I'm like looking for one, but I just want to know. Like,
see, all right.
Barbie has no underwear.
Right. But no, but also no genitalia. She's just smooth.
So. She's not
but she kind
anything.
Of has, but she kind of has like a little
this
bit of
this is
a,
no, what we're into
look,
right now,
look,
guys.
Don't look.
Guys, no, no, no. Look.
That's a shadow, first of all. That's a shadow.
But this is, we have lost our minds. We are just passing around
there
a computer looking at naked dolls
there
for
is a
sale
cleft
on eBay.
There is
guys,
a,
what is happening?
There is a cleft there.
Yeah, I see it.
There's nothing there.
There is
completely smooth.
There's a little camel toe.
There's a cloven.
There's a little, there's a suggestion of an opening. There's a hint of
lip. Because her butt has to start.
Yeah. Her butt has to start. Where does that say? That brings
not
up a
in
good
the
question,
front, dude.
That brings up a no, that's front.
Well,
that brings up a question. Where does the butt start, Paul?
Well, I'm saying
that's the taint, dude.
Where does the butt start?
Do me a favor. Look up naked Barbie ass or butt.
I can't. All right, so this is all right, so this is a naked Barbie butt right here, and then there you go.
Look at that shit.
Yeah. Okay.
That
so
is
she's got
genitals.
That's
and it goes underneath. You see, it goes in between.
Oh my God! What? Well, that, but that's the same thing. The Ken was an old one that had that underwear.
Yeah, we're gonna be putting on all this.
Guys, what is
God,
this?
I'm gonna throw up.
Guys, I love that this is where this podcast has gone.
You guys need a "How Did This Get Made?" T-shirt that's just a Barbie crotch.
Yep. And then it says, "Where does the butt start?"
How did this get made?
Where does the butt start?
Well, here's a comparison.
Where does the butt start?
Oh, this is interesting.
Nineties
Barbie has underwear.
Really?
Oh. No.
But 2000s Barbie doesn't.
Oh. What about earlier?
Well,
than
that's
90s?
Like that's underwear? The same as pubic
that's
hair.
That's not true, Paul.
That's the same as pubic hair because 90s Barbie had a landing strip and 2000s Barbie had
that's
nothing.
Not true.
Oh
holy
my gosh!
Fuck, my
oh
head's
boy!
Gonna
this is pretty great.
I love it all. well. I think we've talked about everything in this movie I did want to say, so when the bad guy is now re-put back together, like.
I love it. We're not going to recover from this. We're never going to recover. This is what this show is about.
Did we mention his horrible mole?
Did they have to?
Can you look for Barbie mole?
<Let's see>.
Barbie hairy mole Barbie.
Medieval Barbie.
By the way, I bet you we could all pool together money and get that Terry Kaiser dummy.
Why doesn't Barbie have nipples?
Great question.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, she has boobs. Why doesn't Barbie have nipples?
There's so much to be said about Barbie.
Ken has nipples, right? Does Ken have nipples?
Look up Ken doll nipples.
I'm looking at Ken doll nipples.
I don't think he does. He has pecs,
but no nips.
No, but Ken has sexuality.
I'm listening.
Look up Ken Doll sexuality.
How does Ken have sexuality?
Ken has sexuality because he's covering it. We know there's a dick over there.
That Barbie, I agree with.
Barbie has nothing other than boobs and the shape of her.
Yes.
Oh my
but she
God.
Has no vagina.
She has no vagina and no nips.
And no nips.
So she can't have children. Does she have a uterus? Does Barbie have a uterus?
I don't think so. And
I don't either, frankly, because I've checked.
It's fascinating because...
Ken Doll does not have nipples. He has the definition. Okay. He has everything
he has
but
yeah.
pecs, no nipples.
Yes.
Pecs, no nips. And she has boobs, no nips.
And
so I guess
boobs.
That I guess that
makes, sense.
No sense. That adds up.
So we are in agreement that Christy Swanson...
Lost
even
her.
Though she, well, but Christy
I don't
Swanson,
think we are in agreement.
I don't think
I think I'm agreeing with Jason that Christy Swanson is the rare exception. She's the mannequin with nips and an asshole and a vagina because she's a frozen woman.
But where
I
does
agree.
Her butt start?
Where does her butt start?
Her butt starts in the front.
Oh, front butt? Oh, are we talking about Christy Swanson's
front butt?
It might
be all
butt
from the front to the back. It might. She might just have a butt.
My search history is forever unclean. man alive.
Oh boy.
I think the only way that we can kind of recover from this is to hear Meshach Taylor do something that people might assume is rapping. Take a listen.
Once upon a time, a peasant girl was victim of a crime. Was frozen ever since. She dared to love the handsome prince. Is that so wrong? But alas, 1,000 years had passed since that spell from hell had been cast.
That is Hollywood now a part of the show. Hollywood's job, hard to pin down.
He is explaining to a bunch of onlookers who don't give a shit about this mannequin.
Are applauding at the end because a spaceship is coming down to deliver her to a medieval-themed stage.
Yes.
That's the other thing that makes no sense. Yeah. Not an alien. Nothing alien about this.
When there's not a presentation to do,
yes.
What is Hollywood's job?
I would think designing
bouncer.
Window displays.
<He's>
what if it was Hollywood? He just like
that's his night job.
I put this outfit on and I kind of do this whole.
It's a paycheck, yeah. Man.
I do this offensive stereotype.
I mean, I have to think that they're doing a ton of presentations here.
Are they? Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I still don't understand why the department store even wanted. Like, what are they getting? Although Tina Rama is coming to cover this event.
Tina Rama. Do you understand what that means? Oh. Tina Rama will be here.
Oh, my God.
Jack up the prices on all the jewelry. And then we got that guy, William Ragsdale, to do it. Yet a third character, a British guy. They all were working it out.
Oh, yeah.
Terry Kaiser's main thing was just to hit people in the face, which I did
At a certain point, he gets into a full suit of armor.
Yes.
And I was like, where
with the crossbow.
Where did this come from?
And she starts driving a car.
A go-kart
very well. And she's, again, a peasant girl.
She drives the go-kart
out
from,
the
like,
street.
Downtown Philly to Germantown, to his house.
Yeah.
She drives a go-kart to the suburbs of Philadelphia, to his house, which she somehow knows
and
how to get to.
And they justify by saying, wow, she's got a great sense of direction. Right.
She drives
okay, well,
a go-kart. Through a plate glass window.
Under a truck.
Which would shred her. It would destroy, it would cut her to ribbons.
It would cut her genitals off. It would skin her nipples.
Oh, God.
Man alive. Well,
and Andy and Gail finally get together because he, like, hairsprays the German guys.
Oh, yeah.
And she, like, starts making out with him. That's what I mean. Like, everybody is, like,
looking
for love. It's like the...
Even the girl, the perfume girl in the security guard.
Yeah, that's Gail and Andy, you know?
Yeah.
That's
of course.
It reminded me...
I didn't know their names. I didn't know their names.
How dare you. It reminded me
Andy's
of the horny friend from... the horny friend from Village People movie. Her friend who was like always horny for all the Village People. It doesn't matter who cares.
There's a Village People movie.
Oh, it's amazing. Boy. Can't stop the music. You'll love it.
Aging.
Oh my God.
Here's what I thought the ending was going to be. Instead of putting the necklace on Terry Kaiser, I thought they should have just killed him straight up. This is my 80s male chauvinist end of the movie. That the necklace somehow falls into the hands of the security guard. And as that as the perfume lady is doing something, he puts it on her, and then he gets to keep her.
Ew.
That's it. That was how I thought.
And that's not male chauvinist. That is just sick. Creepy serial killer. Ooh, yeah, no, you know what it should be is the guy who loves the girl.
I want that.
But the girl doesn't want to be with him. He should trap her with a necklace.
But I thought that, like, it felt like that wouldn't have been out of the norm if he did that.
I thought that they were going to tie the necklace around each other's necks on an air balloon and then grab hands and jump off.
What? God. They were going to kill themselves as mannequins?
They were going to Thelma and Louise themselves?
And they would just freeze frame credits.
Wow. I would have liked that.
Together.
Now,
that's from the first movie.
It was. That's, I was like, oh, they got Starship to do this.
Yeah, the best part of the movie in many ways is the song from the first movie.
Wow. Yeah. Okay, that is a really wild ending you thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
I was surprised. I thought they were just going to straight up kill the bad guy and just sail away in the hot air balloon.
Well, they do kind of kill
what they do.
Well, they kill the bad guy. It's a really disturbing end because then the garbage truck picks him up and they reveal that they've put him back together. But when they go back to Barvaria, wherever he's from, the tour guide goes, this is the, and that's the story of the count, but no one believes it. Well, clear, this just happened a couple weeks ago.
It's probably in the news.
You woman who was the tour guide when you were showing the peasant girl earlier in the movie, like the count was part of your country as of mere weeks ago.
And you were giving
a human being that was a known entity.
You were giving the tour to the girl, the
peasant girl.
She'd be like, yeah, I was actually here. It kind of freaked me out.
Oh, it was like 2 months ago.
Yeah, she should have had like a little bit of an emotional moment.
Well,
like,
see, that's in that moment. I thought we had jumped 1,000 years ahead. I thought we were, and I was like, and I looked at the frame because I was like, oh, are we in the future now? What are they? How are they representing that? And I was like, oh, no, they're not.
Dude, Mannequin 3 is all Terry Kaiser.
Yep.
1,000 years in the future.
Yep, I love that.
Future Mall.
It's 2091.
By the way, if these tour guys know this lore about these mannequins, why don't they just fucking take the necklace off the mannequins and see for themselves?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know, yeah. I have
now thought of a reason why Mannequin is bad. It almost sounds like a male pelican. Not a male mannequin.
Well, we could also, mannequin is for men and women, so we could keep it.
Mannequin.
Mannequin.
Well, I do wonder, because mannequins, you know, mannequin does imply that, like, the first mannequins were men.
I'm not sure.
It's just a male world and we all have to accept it?
Yeah. I wonder what the etymology of the word is, and I don't know that it's, like, man.
Oh. I'm looking it up right now, going to the definition. A mannequin, also called a mannequin, a dummy, a lay figure, or a dress form, is an articulated doll used by artists, tailors, dressmakers, and window dressers, and others to display off fit clothing. It's life-size dolls with simulated airways. It's also used for life-size dolls with simulated airways.
But genitalia? Does it say anything about genitalia?
Let's see. They were using nuclear tests.
Does it say where the butt starts?
Let's see. I'll take this out. Oh, mannequin comes from the French word meaning mannequin. French word mannequin, which acquired the meaning an artist's jointed model, which came from the Flemish word mannequin, meaning little man figurine. And it was used in the United Kingdom. It referred to fashion models themselves.
Oh.
The meaning as a dummy dating from the start of World War II.
Interesting. Yeah, guys, so we really got to the bottom of it.
We really did it. And I'm just looking at mannequins with nipples right now. So anyway, obviously we had an opinion about it, but there are other people out there who had a second opinion. It is now time for Second Opinions.
Give me a second to collect my thoughts. I need to decide if this movie I bought was a one-star film, a 4, 2, or 3. But that lack of a plot really spoke to me. This turd of a film really did it for me. So give me a second to reflect, and I'll give you a second, I'll give you a second, a second opinion.
All right, these are 5-star reviews culled from Amazon. They are weird, so let's get into it. Okay. This is really interesting because these reviews are from an Amazon box set of Mannequin 2 and Mannequin 1 together. So you'll see a little bit of crossover here. This one is from Brenda Hobby, a.k.a. Taz Brataz. And this is written on August 19th, 2014. So relatively new. I don't care for love stories. But you know how usually the first one is better than these second ones?
I'm made of hate.
Well, these two are amazingly equal, and they were so much more than a love story.
Oh, boy.
They were clever. They were cunningly funny. Ugh. And they kept you drawn to the edge of your seat to see what can happen next. It was a damn goodbye and an awesome add to my DVD collection.
Holy shit.
5 stars.
Five stars. Nope.
And
I get it.
This one is one of my favorites of just all Amazon reviews. This is from Blonde Freddy, written in 2012. I really like Mannequin. The best version is the second one. I have bought several movies, kind of a lot of them, and all are made with quality workmanship. The movies are perfect. No faults. Sound is awesome. Who would have thought Amazon.com would have great movies? This is the place to buy a good movie or even rent one too. I tell everyone to go to Amazon.com to buy all movies.
Paul.
People always ask, where's a good place to buy a good movie online? Easy answer, Amazon.com, of course.
Paul, this is a review for Amazon.
Paul, is Amazon our sponsor this week?
Five stars. Just because Amazon was good. Now, this is a thing that kind of came up a lot, which was people did not like Kim Cattrall. They felt that she was too sexy. And a lot of people liked Christy Swanson more because she was a little bit more genteel. But the rest are all written kind of like this. This is from Get the Dirt. 5 stars, Get the Dirt, from Rebecca Durank. Okay, now bear with me on this. I always think that Christy Swanson is a beautiful actress. And in this movie, her lover boyfriend wants to treat her like a queen and also to fight for her honor, so that is more like going after. A man who has no knowledge to be a hitman to make things look like taking Christy hostage in his hot air balloon, and I think he is threatening the couple of love, facing a fear and turning into stone in a magic spell, so he's taking a big dose of his medicine by kidnapping the princess.
Oof.
So that was a 5-star review.
That's a 5-star.
That's a 5. And then that's followed by this one, which is from Crazy Python, also written in 2012.
Crazy Python.
First of all, I didn't buy this DVD. But I will when I have the chance.
Oh.
We're having many financial problems here in Portugal.
Oh, no.
And while I don't want to start to go nuclear on the government, nothing will ever change.
Oh, boy.
But I still love Mannequin 2. Oh. I first saw it on video 500 years ago because of William Ragsdale, Herman's Head, and Terry Kaiser. Let's face it, Weekend at Bernie's is a fantastic comedy, and Herman's Head was a very funny sitcom with both Hank Azaria and Yeardley Smith from The Simpsons. Maybe Shout will open their eyes and release this on DVD while we're still alive.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
But the story of Mannequin 2 itself is quite amusing and entertaining. Who ever thought of finding a woman of their dreams in a magical place? I know I did. So please don't care about professional film critics and their opinions. They're about as valid as yours. Buy this DVD. 5 stars.
Don't care about their opinions, but they're as valid as yours?
Yeah, so your opinion is equally invalid as theirs.
I'm wondering now, like, they didn't even have the materials in medieval time to turn her into a mannequin. Like, she should have been stone.
That's what I think, too. She would, Or a really carved, or a crude wood carving.
Carving, yeah.
Yes.
She shouldn't have just turned into a modern-day mannequin.
Yeah, no, she turned into a store mannequin, which would not have existed in medieval times.
No.
Even remotely.
But then you could argue that accents would probably be in medieval times, too. Let's go around the table. Would you recommend this movie, June? Would you say watch this movie?
I didn't love watching this movie.
Oh, interesting.
Not
a fan.
I just didn't.
Steve?
Totally recommend it. I was telling Jason, I had to go to Largo last night, and I got halfway through the movie, and my whole time at Largo, I was just going, I can't wait to go back and finish this. It had huge holes. I hated the German guys so much, but I thought it was kind of funny. And I love Christy Swanson so much.
I loved her, too.
Yeah. I would 100% watch this, and I will – I'm like – I really
you should go back and see the first
I was gonna say
one.
It makes me want to watch the first one because
me too.
I know I saw it when it came out, but I have no reference points for it. So
I want to watch the first one as well. If you want to watch the first one, it is available on YouTube.
Oh, nice!
I also highly recommend watching this movie. I enjoyed the hell out of it. I mean, it's crazy.
Like the music cues alone. I mean, from if you're my age, if you're like in your 40s, if you're a teenager in the 80s, the music cues alone are so satisfying.
Oh yeah.
For how, like for the songs and the montages and just the ancillary kind of chase music like is so terrific. It's all sounds like forgotten Oingo Boingo songs.
It's so 80s it's even though it's in the 90s.
Yeah.
I will also say that that you can get both of these movies together in a great DVD combo pack for almost $3. So
unless you're in Portugal and
don't make me go nuclear. I apologize to the people of Philadelphia. You have a great city, but you know it doesn't hold a candle in New York. Suck it, Philly. Suck it. All right. So, Steve, do you have anything that you'd like to plug?
Nope. You can just follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Steve Agee.
You have amazing pictures on your Instagram. I would highly recommend following you on that. Jason, anything you want to talk about?
No, not really.
June, anything you want to hit?
You can watch the second season of Grace and Frankie on Netflix and Lady Dynamite's on Netflix too.
Yay.
You can follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. That's where we announce everything about the show. Listen to our mini episodes because if you have a correction and omission, something that we didn't talk about here, you'll have your chance to voice it. You can call us at 619.
If you know where the butt starts.
If you know where the Jason mannequin know. Butt yeah. starts,
you know,
you can do it.
Yeah, like that. Use the forums or our Twitter or whatever to really get into a substantive conversation about doll genitalia. And let's crowdsource this, guys. Let's figure it out. Do you think that the Christy Swanson as a mannequin has genitalia or not?
Let's get a vote going on our Facebook page and on our Twitter page, and I'll announce those results on next week's mini episode. And if you have any information about Christy Swanson's mannequin's vagina or nipples, call us at 619 Paul Ask.
Oh, Paul Ask? ASS?
No.
By the way, I just have to say, if she had genitalia after falling in that water, she would have had water dripping out of her holes.
Mm. What now?
What? No, they're closed. They're not like a real doll.
It's not like it's functioning molded. Vagina.
It's like molded like Ken's underwear.
The same way that like she has a mouth, but it's not like open.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Like so are you changing your mind?
I think there's lips.
No.
Yeah.
I don't think
there's at least a slit.
I don't think I hate that word.
And
slit.
There's at least a slit. That's how we're ending this show.
I hate it.
That's the new catchphrase when we go out. There's at least a slit. Thanks for listening to How Did This Get
Made. That's our new T-shirt. At least a slit, and we'll be working on Malkin 3, King Tut's Tomb. By the way, we could probably get the financing for Malkin 3.
Oh, guys.
Oh, my God.
I feel like we could probably get Mannequin 3 Malkin financed and made.
Oh,
for $1 million.
By the way, easy. Not a bad idea.
It's not.
Who would we cast? Who would you cast as the Malkin? Chris Hemsworth would be the first.
John Hamm?
Ooh, John Hamm would be great. Are you going a little bit older?
I think you got to go, I would do like Liam Hemsworth.
James Franco.
Or like Zac Efron.
Zac Efron.
Like,
Efron's great.
Yeah.
Okay, and Selena Gomez, is she like the designer or is it like something like that?
Is it like wait.
No,
or is it something like Holly Hunter?
What? A cougar?
Holly
a
Hunter?
Cougar, like a cougar.
A mannequin cougar.
Wait, guys. It's Kim Cattrall. Reprising her part.
Oh,
she falls in love.
Idea.
And we get Christy Swanson in there. It's all three transformed. Guys, let's make this goddamn
that
movie.
That is the best.
Oh, my God, dude.
Good idea.
Oh, that's actually a great idea.
Zac Efron, Christy Swanson.
Kim Cattrall,
and inexplicably Holly Hunter for Paul.
Holly Hunter just got us the Kim Cattrall because it's the same idea.
Yep.
And we have to have unfortunately Meshach Taylor passed away. We'd have to have Hollywood's son, I believe, in this movie. You have to find a young guy
that can play that part.
Guy Hannibal from Kimmy Schmidt.
Oh yeah,
that's a great idea.
I was thinking go the opposite way, make it like Hannibal Buress.
we gotta make this movie.
Really low key. I kind of like that.
I love it. All right. Well, thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you to everybody here at Earwolf. Thank you to Avril Haley for pulling together all those clips. Nate Kiley for doing all of our research on the movie producer that killed himself because of the financial downfall. Marissa Zeitz, our big engineer, Sam. I know I called you big.
That's fine.
big old guy. Everybody here at Earwolf, July Diaz, thank you so much for listening.
We'll see you in the mini episode. What is happening? We are off the rails.
Thanks again to Loot Crate, the monthly subscription box for geeks, gamers, and pop culture nerds. Join us as we celebrate the futuristic. We've packed July's crate with items from pop culture's favorite prognostications of science in the future. Look forward to items from Rick and Morty, Futurama, Star Trek, Mega Man, Valiant Comics, and Star Trek again, including a model, a figure, and our monthly tee and pin. You only have until the 19th at 9 p.m. Pacific to subscribe and receive that month's crate. And when the cutoff happens, that's it. It's over. So go to lootcrate.com/bonkers. That's BONKERS. And enter the offer code bonkers, BONKERS, to save $3 off your new subscription today. Be a geek and gamer that's got all the coolest shit.
This has been an Earwolf production, executive produced by Scott Aukerman, Adam Sachs, and Chris Bannon. For more information and content, visit earwolf.com.